here. Our Sunday night lessons, let's go ahead and go to Revelation chapter 19. And we have been talking about the time period of the tribulation. And we have went over many things about this time period and many things in the scriptures of the tribulation. We just got kind of finished up talking about the Antichrist and who he is and what he's going to do and how he's going to come and he's going to deceive and rise in power. And of course, his purpose is going to be against Christ. It's going to be against Christ. Now, in a time of the tribulation period, the church is not going to be here. And thank God for that. Those that are saved and born again are going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation. The Lord's going to come back for his church. And during a time of the tribulation on earth, we are going to have a time of judgment, as I preached on this morning, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, the purification of his bride. All right. So in talking about all that, it kind of things going on in heaven and on earth. And so it brings us to the end of the tribulation, to the end of this time period. And so tonight we're going to look, of course, not at all the verses, but we're going to look at several verses in regards to the end of the tribulation, or what the Bible most commonly calls the day of the Lord. All right. Now, the day of the Lord is a time period in the scriptures, and it covers multiple events of the end times. But this is the main event, the main referenced event in the scriptures of the day of the Lord. And that is the Battle of Armageddon. That is the final battle when the Antichrist and the devil and the earth come together to what? To fight against Christ, to be against the Lord's Christ, and the Lord is going to come down from heaven, and there's going to be a battle. It's going to be a physical and also spiritual battle that's going to be happening at the end times, according to the scriptures. All right, so Revelation chapter 19 gives us this battle, and we'll start reading in verse number 11. All right, Revelation 19, verse 11. Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and of the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." And this is a great battle. This is a battle that is Hollywood tries to portray all these great and huge and large battles and victories all kinds of things that Hollywood tries to do, and they don't have anything on the truth. They don't have anything on the Bible. This is going to be a battle. This is going to be here in the Valley of Armageddon, and it's going to be just a massive slaughter from the Lord in his righteous judgment for those that have rejected him and for those that have followed the Antichrist and have went against God. It's going to be a huge battle at the end. This is the most prophesied event in the day of the Lord. And it's talked about over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And it's likened to this day of judgment that God is going to take out on the nations. He's going to come back at this time. He's going to gather them together, which we'll look at. And he's going to bring his judgment upon them here on the earth. Now let's look in Jude. So turn back just one book. Go to Jude and look in verse number 14. Let's look at some scripture tonight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the scriptures, see the prophecies of it. We read kind of the overview there in Revelation 19, but we're going to look at some scriptures here tonight throughout the Bible and see that this is prophesied about. John, who is the writer of the book of Revelation, he was not alone when he saw this. This is not just some hallucinations of some man on an island. Multiple prophets of the Lord had this picture and had this view of what was going to happen in these last days of the tribulation. All right, so Jude 14. The Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This is the seventh from Adam. This is Genesis chapter 5. And I made reference to this morning about God's judgment. We are going to stand before God and be judged. But this judgment of him coming with 10,000 of his saints and judging those that are on the earth, those ungodly sinners, the seventh from Adam was preaching about this time, that judgment is coming. And you stand and you preach today, like I did this morning, that standing before God and judgment is coming. And people say, we've been hearing this forever. We've been hearing about God coming back and about God judging and everything. We've heard about this over and over and over again. The men of the Bible have talked about it. You're still talking about it. Well, this much I know is we're closer today than we were yesterday because he is coming back. Say, how do I know? Because he said he was. Say, well, when's he coming back? How am I going to be ready? Get saved. Do your best to live right and please the Lord. And you'll be ready for his rapture to come back and get us. You don't want to be here at this day. You don't want to say, well, I'm just going to make it until this day and we'll see what happens to make it to the day of the Lord. That's not the day you want. You want to get saved and be part of the church and be raptured out before you face the Lord. You want to be behind him on the horses as one of the 10,000s of his saints coming back. You don't want to be looking at him head on. You don't want that. Why? Because he's going to come back with righteous judgment. All right, now turn to Zechariah. That's in the Old Testament towards the end. It's one of those small books. All right, they're called the Minor Prophets. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 14. If you find Matthew, if you know where Matthew is, you can just go backwards to the left two books, and that's where it is. Zechariah 14, let's look in verse number 1. Zechariah 14, 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. So there's that term, the day of the Lord. We're going to see it over and over again. It's going to be the day of the Lord. It's going to be that day. It's not in reference to a singular day. It's a reference to a larger time period than that, but when it often talks about the day of the Lord, it's often talking about this one event. All right, so behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and the half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half it toward the south. What's going to happen? God's going to come down here, and he is going to initiate this battle. They're going to be gathered together, and they're going to be able to see God coming in the sky, all right, from heaven. They're eventually going to be able to see him coming, and they're going to gather together into this place, and they're going to battle. And the Bible says that God gathers the nations. That's what he does. He brings them together for this time of judgment. Look in Zechariah chapter 12, and look in verse number 8. Zechariah 12, verse 8. The Bible says, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadan Ramon in the valley of Megiddon. All right, so here it is. It's that day. God says he's going to gather them together. Zechariah is prophesying about that. Who has the date in their Bible of Zechariah? Who has like a Ruckman reference or Schofield or anyone that has it, just give it out to me. What's the date at the top?
BC 487.
487 BC. Okay. 520. Anybody else? We have any other takers that want to give some dates here? So what's happening? 420 to 500 or so BC. And this is being prophesied about something that hasn't happened yet. Why? God says it's coming. This judgment is coming. Prepare yourself for this judgment, because the Lord is going to come back. Look in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. A few books to the left. Joel 2. All right, Joel 2, look in verse number 1. The Bible says this, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, they shall leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That army that it's describing, that army is the Lord's army. Those that come back with the Lord, they're the ones that are have been in heaven, and they have a glorified body at that time. a spiritual glorified body that can't be thrust through. It falls on the sword and nothing happens to it. It's gonna be a crazy time. It's gonna be a crazy time. And all these movies and all these things with all these demonic creatures and all these battles and all these things that go on and say, oh, that's just Hollywood's imagination. No, it's not. It's not Hollywood's imagination. You can simply read the Bible and see some of these things coming to fruition. A preacher used to say that all this satanic stuff, all this stuff that you see on television, that's all in preparation for this day. That's in preparation for this day. And when I was young, I used to think, that sounds silly. And the older I get and the more I read the scriptures and the more I see the commercials for this random stuff that's on TV and these movies and stuff, I say, I know what that looks like. I can read about what that looks like. That looks like this battle that's going to be of the Lord. Look in Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, look in verse number 2. Joel 3, 2, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for the heritage, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted land. Skip over to verse number 9. Verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord, let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Again, over and over. What is it? It's the promise of his coming. It's when the Lord's going to come back at this battle, at the day of the Lord. And we see here in Joel chapter number 3, we start to see the same likeness that we read in Revelation chapter number 19 about this great wine press, this great press that's full. Look in Revelation 14. Turn back to Revelation, look in 14. John has a different vision of the last days of the tribulation here in Revelation 14. In verse 17, Revelation 14, verse 17, says, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Say, how long is that? 200 miles. 200 miles in this valley. And the Bible says when this winepress gets full and it's ripe and it's gathered together, that the Lord is going to come through and tread the winepress. And when he treads the winepress, it says that the blood shall be even unto the horses' bridles. And depending on how long the bridles are, that could be 3 to 4 to 5 feet off the ground. for the bridles. For 200 miles long. Say, oh, this isn't just some kind of local battle. It is a local battle in one spot, but the nations gathered together into this valley, and the Bible says the Lord's going to come down and he's going to tread that winepress. Look in Isaiah 63. This is not just some made-up doctrine. This is actually one of the most prophesied things in all of Scripture, is this time when the Lord comes back and executes judgment on the earth. Isaiah 63. Why? Because when he comes back, I think we're going to run into some of his references. When he comes back, he is coming back to rule and reign as king. Jesus Christ. He came and offered the kingdom to Israel before he was crucified, and that's how they reacted to the kingdom. They crucified him. But when he comes back this time, he's not going to come back and be crucified. He's going to come back and be set up as king. Isaiah 63, start in verse 1. Isaiah 63, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Here's the answer. It says, why are your garments red? Why is your apparel red like you've been in the wine press with the wine fat? Here's the answer, verse 3. I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now this is God in a holy and perfect wrath. This is God in his righteousness coming back. And say, man, wait a minute, I thought God was all love. Isn't that what we're told? Is that Jesus is just a God of love, and he doesn't want to hurt anybody, and he just wants to answer, and he just wants to bring everyone their gifts like Christmas. That's the God we say. God's just a God that's here for me because I'm the special one, and God just loves me so much. We see a holy and righteous God. That's when his wrath is full, it's full, and he's done. And that is, the time that we live in now, the Lord is offering mercy and grace over and over and over and over again. If you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was buried and died and rose again for your sins, and that we can accept him by faith and have salvation as a free gift of God, if you've heard that salvation plan before, that scriptural salvation plan, if you've heard that and not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? I'm telling you again today, and God is gracious enough to give you another chance to get saved. Because he's gracious and merciful and loving, but when he is done, he's done. He's done. I remember my mother used to say, I don't mean to make light of it, my mother used to say, I've had it up to here with you. Like every other day in the summer, I've had it up to here with you. What did that mean? That meant that if I was walking on that thin ice, I was right there to the point where I was going to get a beating. And that's what she was saying. And the Lord, when he is gracious and mercy and shows long suffering, and over and over and over and over and over again, He's not going to come back, and there's not going to be just people there that he hasn't. We serve a fair God. If you heard me this morning, we serve a fair God. And he's going to come back, and he's going to wipe people out after he's given them a chance to repent. And when they refuse on that chance, he's going to come back in these last days, and this is what's going to happen. He's going to trample them out. He's going to say, this is just like the wine press. And I know we don't do it anymore. We can just go to the grocery store and buy grape juice. And, you know, but in the old days and in the old country, if you want to put it that way, that's what they used to call it. That's what the Italians used to call it. When back east, they used to say, in the motherland or in the old country, right? What do they mean by that? Back in Italy, they used to mean, what happened? We'd take all these grapes and we'd throw them all in this big container. Sometimes it was just this round, built, stone-walled thing, and they would go out and harvest the grapes, and they'd come in and they'd throw them all in there, and then what would happen? They'd get in their bare feet. This sounds pretty hygienic, doesn't it? They'd get in their bare feet, and they'd go in there, and they'd start smashing all those grapes with their feet. And they have these holes set on the sides of these, and the grape juice would run out of those little troughs, and they'd catch it in containers. But they'd be in there. What were they doing? They'd be trodding the grapes in there until the grape juice came out. And he says, just like that, is the blood of those that he comes against. Look in Isaiah 34. That's why when you get saved and you become a child of God and a son of God, and God's love is outpoured on his children, that's where I want to be with God. I want to humble myself before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you for salvation. And getting saved puts you into the family of God. And man, I'd much rather have his love than try to face this God. Same God, perfect and pure attributes both, but I would much rather be a part of his love. Isaiah 34, in verse number 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them and hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall melt with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from off the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams. And the Lord has sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. It's the Lord's vengeance. It's what's to come. Ezekiel 39. While all this is going on, the Lord is preparing for this. In Revelation 19, this was where the quote was from. God's going to gather all the fowls of heaven together, and he says, after I'm done here, there's going to be a great feast for all these birds of prey. And look in Ezekiel 39, starting in verse 17. He says, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, and all them of fat of Bashan, all them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all the man of war, saith the Lord God. He's going to gather them together and say, come and be filled after this battle. Now I turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is talking about the last days and the end times. Talking about the end shall come, and look in verse 27, Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then immediately after those days, and talks about gathering together again here at the last days, but that's what it's in reference to. It's in reference to this final battle. And say, wow, that's pretty heavy. Yeah, I understand. And we need to understand that God's word is a holy book. And it's a right book. And so many times, preachers just like myself, we kind of go in and we kind of cherry pick some of these portions of scripture out of there, and we talk about the lighter things, and we talk about, you know, be kind to your neighbor, and that's in the Bible. And that's good to preach. But there's times when you can get into the Word of God and say, listen, this is also the God of heaven. And this is also what is to come. And these things go together very plainly about the final day of the Lord and that final battle of Armageddon. And when God comes in and wipes out these armies, what happens after that, which we'll get into talking about these end times, what happens after that is God sets up a kingdom, and the Bible says that he rules with a rod of iron, and he sets up some rules of righteousness. And when he does that, he blesses the whole earth. And he lifts the curse that's on the current earth, meaning how hard it is, those of you that have gardens, to go out and to plant something and have it come up and grow and keep the weeds out and keep the bugs off and keep everything else out. God's going to lift that curse off the earth. And it's going to be a time of blessing according to the Lord is what it's going to be. And so that is all time to come. And right now, we read these things and we try to put the pieces together and understand what God's going to do. But right now, you don't have to lose any sleep over it tonight. Because you're going to be with, if you're saved and born again, you're going to come back with him. And you don't have to be on the other side of that wrath of God. If you're saved, you're his child. And you're in his love. And you're sealed unto the day of redemption, the Bible says. Thank God for that. Say, what do we do with it? Well, we take the gospel and we give it to somebody. We say, listen, you need to get saved. You don't want to face God and say, well, what if I die before this time? All right. Then you're going to, without Christ, as I said this morning, you face God in your sin as a sinner, and his holy wrath and judgment on sin is hell. And so if you're saved and born again, you miss all that. And you can put your head on your pillow at night and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. Thank you for giving me your grace and mercy and extending this towards me that we can be saved and born again. Man, what a God we serve. And I'm thankful that we can get in on that end. We can study the tribulation and go, wow, that sounds crazy. That sounds like, whew, what a time that's going to be. Yeah, and we're secured in Christ. We're secured as a child of God, and we're not going to face that wrath. And thank God for it. Thank God for those blessings. So that's going to be the end of the tribulation period, is going to be that final battle. And then what he sets up, as the Bible talks about the millennium, he's going to set that up to rule and reign. And we'll get into all of that stuff here coming up in the next few weeks. So, all right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight. And I'll go ahead and pray and dismiss this evening. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I understand this is some heavy stuff. And this is some deeper things of the word of God, some deeper meat to the scriptures. Lord, I'm thankful that you also give us some milk of the scriptures, and you give us some things easy to be understood, and you give us some things easy to apply to our lives and easy to understand. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that salvation is easy and simple. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now the people that are here tonight. Again, be with the young people and the teenagers that are at camp, and bless them. Keep them safe from any physical harm while they're playing games and running around and being goofy. And Lord, I pray that you'd watch over them. Lord, thank you for those that are here tonight. I pray that you strengthen us this week to be a good testimony for you, to live for you, to be a witness for you. Lord, I pray that you'd just hear our prayers as we, as people have health concerns and people are praying for family members. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be merciful to us. Thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.